SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
That is Scott Bogman. And we're back. You just weren't here for that one episode last week. Which, you know what I liked, Boggs? I liked the worry. I liked the panic from people. I liked the fear. I like seeing the fear in their eyes, the fear in their voices and their tweets about wondering where the episode was. If we got nothing, wouldn't be so happy. But we did get people wondering, what the hell's going on here? What kind of ship are you running?
And that didn't. Yeah, well, the kind of ship that we're running is the one where Welch couldn't speak very well. So we got to the end of the last show that we did on Thursday, and Welch was starting to sound like this a little bit. So we just said, well, let's do this later if we can. And then we couldn't. So that is what happened with baseball.
Yeah, I feel a little bit better. I feel we're back. We're back a little bit. We're not quite back.
That's good.
We're almost back.
I mean, you sound like you sound totally normal to me. I know you've had a little cough today, but outside of the cough, you sound perfectly normal to me. So
well, it's a little,
so too.
Little easier to feel normal when Corbin Carroll is making his league debut. Let's go, Corbin Carroll. Corbin Carroll officially getting the call up. This happened on Sunday night, of course, because I did a guest appearance on Saturday and was like, yeah, between the two, I'd go Gunnar Henderson because it seems like they're a little bit more. Well, also, you know, part of it is Jake McCarthy, man. McCarthy has been playing great with the Diamondbacks. He's averages up. He's stealing bases. He's just doing the work. So you kind of thought
Saturday.
Yeah. Well, you kind of thought like, you know, Varsho's making plays defensively that are huge in the outfield. Alec Thomas looks great. McCarthy's playing good. Maybe they don't push him, but they did. And Corbin Carroll officially with the call up. And Carroll has been having, it's not just a Bogman and I, you know, going nuts about our own team type of guy. This is arguably the number one prospect in baseball. 24 homers, 31 stolen bases, 307 average, and over 400 OBP, and over 1,000 OPS, dominated Double A. Triple A, he was hitting over 300, cooled a tiny bit, and then he popped back up into the like 287 range. And he's hitting around 287, and he's playing really solid right now. So Corbin Carroll, our dude, is officially here. Boggs, expectations?
I don't hold too high of expectations for fantasy. You never know. I mean, Mike Trout came up at the end of the year and struggled, right? So I don't have giant expectations, but I do expect him to be pretty good, you know. I expect him to hit high in the lineup too. I don't think you give a guy this call up and then hit him 8 or 9, maybe in his first couple games. But if he starts hitting, I expect him to be decently high in the lineup. You know, our problem really hasn't been hitting this year. The hitting's been okay. It's not great. I wouldn't say that we have a superstar, but the pitching,
I mean, that's the problem.
The bullpen is really the trash. So
yeah. Well, the problem is they've lacked like a star that can carry this team in big situations. They don't have big time hitters. They've got decent dudes. Rojas has played well. Barsha's been fine. Christian Walker, you know, hits lots of homers, but not for average. But they don't have any eliteness. They're missing that completely.
Yeah, because Cattell just hasn't. He's been, you know, last 2 years, he's been hit or miss and injury prone and all of that stuff. So that's been, you know, but Alec Thomas is good. Like, I think the lineup is solid. I would say, like you said, it's missing a big piece. We're missing one frontline starter and then an entire bullpen. The whole bullpen sucks.
So. Yeah. I mean, they need to change the pitching side. I think they need one big power hitter. And then a guy like Corbin could be the real deal. So what's interesting about it is, you know, he got the call up and then everyone was freaking out because people were like, oh, he's not even in the lineup. They haven't even released the lineup as we're recording this. And he's at the stadium. So we're assuming he is playing because they made this move yesterday in advance for all of this stuff to happen. And Carroll should be in the lineup. And Boggs, I've been dealing with the existential. I don't think it's going to happen, but like, I really want to go. Like, I would love to be going. It's in Phoenix. And I mean, there's still like an outside slight chance. There's a slight little slimy chance. I doubt it's going to happen.
We're going to seal this. It is happening right
now. No, I don't. Well, but I'm talking about time. I'm talking even about.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm going to guilt you into doing it. You're doing it.
I don't want to be guilted. Do not guilt me into doing it.
I'm guilting you to do it right now.
Don't guilt or guilt me, please.
I'm going to guild you. So let's see.
I do want to know what number Corbin Carroll is going to be wearing, by the way.
Just Chris Welsh, right? On Venmo.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
No, it's not. That is not my name on Venmo.
I know. I see it.
Yeah, no. But don't guilt me. I mean, listen, I love money, but don't guilt me. Don't do guilt money.
I'm not really doing this for you. I'm doing this for Parker. So for his future and his love of baseball. Oh,
this is important for his future. This is important.
That's right. I'm trying to help out. I don't think I sent a birthday gift anyway. So there you go. And have a great time at the baseball
game. Yeah, that's a guilt. That's a guilt, Bogman. Goddamn guilt you just sent me, you son of a bitch.
Have now a great time, bud.
Ah, Jesus. Well, now I got to deal with the wife and got to do the thing. So maybe you're going to see me out there. Maybe you're going to see out the bottom.
I want pictures.
Damn it. Damn it. And I had Phoenix and the people and the mud people and all the gross. And
take
the
everybody.
Take them all. Come on. Come on, everybody. Come on down. Come take on everybody. Down. So you are a nice guy. And
don't say that.
No. Refund. Bogman's going to need a refund.
I'll request right now. Send it back.
24 homers, 31 stolen bases. I wish the lineup was out right now. I wish
it's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, but I wish it was out right now so we can see it. So here's something to consider for today. Corbin Carroll dominates versus righties. This season he's hit, well, I guess this is going to be all screwed up because it only shows, it's just showing Amarillo's numbers. He hit 333 against righties. Lefties, he still hits pretty well. Hits 250. And he would be going up against Ranger Suarez if he's playing tonight. Corbin Carroll has got power. He has got speed.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. I would love to call a home run call. I don't expect it versus a lefty, but as soon as that bullpen comes in, you might see something. This is the impactful guy. Here's a great question that popped up on Fantasy Pros Bogs. This is a great question. Would you drop Whit Merrifield for Corbin Carroll at this stage? Let me give you perspective, because I think on the surface we got to be like,
give me the month for Whit.
We're gonna get Whit. All right, so the month on Whit Merrifield on the splitties, let's split them. All right, so this month of August he's hitting 218 with two homers, one stolen base, and he has 12 hits in 55 at bats. So 218 with two homers and a stolen base with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I would.
Make the cut?
Yeah, I would. I would do that. I would cut Whit for Corbin Carroll if that's where you're
at. I think that's it. Now, we went through a couple, kind of a litany of different guys. Like, I mean, Rosario was one of those players. I mean, there's just a lot of guys that you can look at and go, I don't need to sit around anymore. You know, I don't need to sit around and do this with these guys at this time of the year. Corbin Carroll, there's no reason, because he cannot exhaust prospect eligibility now. That's why they waited until now. They waited so he cannot exhaust it, so they can play him every single day if they want. And I think it's going to be some mixture of playing some DH, but also the Hazen in his Easy Central article was like, we really want him to learn the position. We want to really learn, you know, the outfield position he's going to play, which I'm going to assume is right. And Varsho goes to left. That's going to be my assumption. I could be wrong, but I would think that makes the most sense. And this is the time, like, let him have major league experience playing right every single day. Like, never take him out and just have, like, you know, Varsho DH, catch, McCarthy playing left some, and right every single day for Corbin Carroll. What's that goddamn smirk on your face?
I can't say. I'll put it in the private chat, but I cannot say.
You know. What, did something funny happen?
Oh.
Corbin Carroll text you?
I'm putting it. I can't. It's stupid, but this is my thing. You know, you see it. I can't say it.
Yeah. You can't say it. I get it. I'm with you on that. So Corbin Carroll, pick up. Go get him. Go get your boy. If he's sitting out there, he's not available in our leagues. Probably not available in a lot of leagues. He's been the speculative ad. He's gonna have been picked up. So I know it's kind of redundant at this point. Most people listening, there isn't an ability to do it. But if you are in a league, letting you know, guys like Whit Merrifield, Amed Rosario, cut all those players for Corbin Carroll just at the opportunity that he steals. And pray to God Lovello gets out of his own stupid way and just give a green light to these guys. Let these guys who can burn, let them burn.
How bad have they been in terms of stolen bases this year? Because I feel like it's picked up a little bit on the back end here, but let me look. Just stolen base totals. Miami is the only team in the triple digits with 107. Texas has 99. Where the hell are the D-backs? D-backs are firmly in the middle. 66. Uh-huh. They're 16th place. 66. Oakland has 67. Seattle has 68. And then below them are the Angels, Astros, and Pirates. Minnesota with 27. Dead last. Maybe if Buxton was healthy, he would have 27 himself. How many does Buxton have on the year? 5?
What? Stolen bases?
No, stolen bases.
I think he has one.
Oh, one?
Yeah, I think he has one stolen base or nothing. It's not a lot.
It's 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's 6, but yeah, it's been terrible. I bet those are recent, too, since he's been a little healthier. But
those are not
then
good.
He got hurt again. So he has 4 in the second half, only 2 in the
Okay, so it's picked up a tiny bit. So, also, you know, on another front, another prospect that got called up that wasn't Gunnar Henderson was Garrett Mitchell by the Brewers. That was kind of another surprising one. Former UCLA, former top-ish prospect, is not in there as much now. I'm not the biggest Garrett Mitchell guy. I know, like, Cross freaking loved him. I never really did. He had a really, like, hit across his body approach that I didn't dig. And it's kind of shown, but there's another guy. I wouldn't be dropping a whole bunch for Garrett Mitchell unless you need help. He's also hitting like 9 in the order. I see today he's hitting 9 against the Pirates, but there's just another one of those prospects if people are looking, and it is that time of season. And this is still why I think in the next week or so, you get Gunnar Henderson and you're going to get Josh Young. You know, these guys are going to get some type of opportunity. The only sad thing, Boggs, is like, will Corbin Carroll go to the AFL now? Because that was almost a guarantee. Ooh. He will not exhaust prospect eligibility, and he is under 400 total season at bats. So the AFL would only probably push him a little over 500, which I think they want him to do. So I'm staying optimistic that he will, and you're going to get the rest of these guys. The other big piece of news that is recent is Justin Verlander and a Verlander scare. Justin Verlander left Sunday's game with some calf tightness, I believe after 60 pitches, and today is getting an MRI. And everyone was trying to get all of us. We were trying to get got.
Yeah, it was really weird. We were playing Madden on the Twitch, and Walsh was like, oh God, what's going on with Justin Verlander? Because he got some report on his phone. But that was someone, that's a real story. Someone was trying to maybe not get you, but it was one of those things that pops up where it's like, Justin Verlander out for the season. Like, those type of trolley tweets have ticked up, right? Like, it's not just me, right? Like, these happening more often than ever right now, right?
The big one that I've seen
during training camp is like a quote that says, you know, blah, blah, blah said blah, blah, blah about this. Like, what was the one? It was like Aaron Donald said, I'll kill all of them or something. And then underneath it said Aaron Donald did not say anything.
It's like the daily sports porch thing I've talked about. There's some of those that are out there continuously dropping that nonsense. So yeah, I know it's stupid, but we didn't get got. Justin Verlander going to have an MRI would be a death sentence to so many of us. So many of us a death sentence if he is out for any extended period of time, because, you know, I've made the argument, Boggs, I did it a little bit on Fantasy Pros, that like, he's probably one of the top pieces of the win your league type of guys. You know what I mean? Like, you got them later and they've had such immense return. He's just one of those guys. Well, friends, if you guys want to support your boys, come and check us out at inthisleague.com. Come and do it today and sign up. Get in the GroupMe rooms. Hang out with us. Hang out with our awesome community, and you get access to us. You can get access in September to my redraft, or my redraft 2023 early ranks. I'm going to be working on and doing that, dropping in September. Also Prospect and Dynasty, and you guys help make it all happen. All the content that hopefully you guys dig, you guys are supporting it when you come to Patreon. Plus, we do other sports, and we have a lot of lifestyle stuff in our GroupMe rooms. So come and check it out, inthisleague.com. Come and sign up today. $5 or $10, get you going, get you jamming, and keeps everything rocking with us. I do hope and love, and you know, really, it's kind of a testament because it hasn't ended, is you hate to see the big downticks that happen during baseball season, but we're not really seeing it. So hopefully anybody that's on the fringes, keep baseball season round and kind of keep up in the know, especially I'll be out in the Arizona Fall League and stuff, and support us over at inthisleague.com. Do it today. This is kind of late news, but Julio got that bag, dude.
We weren't here for it.
Could be the highest paid player in baseball at 450. It could be an 8-year 120 or a 18-year 450. It's one of the wildest things I've ever seen. I would love just like a real breakdown of all of the things he has to hit. I don't know what they are, but there's like MVP race based stuff on there. There's probably statistical things, all-star games. I don't know. It's just craziness, dude.
I mean, this makes so much sense, and it seems like it's one of those that's a fair deal for him and the franchise. They're like, you know, it's one of those weird, isn't it one of those weird deals that's like at the base, it's worth 200 mil over 12.
No, it's like,
but it can go up to 450. Like, it's ridiculous.
The lowest is 120, I think, over 8 years. I think that was like the lowest of all of them. And the high, that's why I said the highest is like 18 to 450. It's just some craziness. But Julio, he got the bag. He secured it. He got paid. And probably the best way baseball could do it too, because they did lots of just like incentive based stuff. So this might not just be one of those nonsensical, you know, like Ozzy Albies type of deals. Like, this could really pay off the guy. And you know, Julio's there forever. You can actually feel confident if you're a fan, like Julio's not going anywhere. You know, I wouldn't go buy a Mariners Kelnick jersey right now, but I get that Julio one for sure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
That's cold-blooded, dude. That is not nice.
It is
not cold-blooded. I mean, it's very true, but also not nice. So,
other things. This is called One for the Ages. Yeah, this is amazing. Aroldis Chapman is going the 15-day IL with an infection in his leg from a tattoo.
I mean, look, this is so great. This just goes into the pantheon of all of the terrible baseball injuries that have happened. I mean, you know, I've said it many times, my favorite ever is Clint Barmas, after winning Rookie of the Year, falls at his cabin carrying up deer meat and is just never even the same player. I mean, I don't like that part, but getting hurt carrying deer meat. Why?
Deer meat? What's dare?
It's to keep kids off drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, that's
drugs
right.
Drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad. Okay.
If you smoke marijuana, you're a bad person. Okay. But yeah, it's just very, it's one of those weird injuries. And just Chapman is such a dip and just such a not good person that it's like, this is absolutely what this guy deserves. You know, he's just such an idiot. So I think it's hilarious.
Who gets a tattoo
like in the middle of the year too? Like, aren't you trying to like be a professional and stay healthy and
also
not do that kind of weird nonsense?
Also, can you not take care of yourself? I have tattoos. I've never got an infection. Take care of your skin.
Yeah. Look at me. I don't take care of myself at all. And I never had an infection from any of my tattoos. So what are we talking about? Give me a break.
I like it. You and I are the judge and jury. Listen, we're fat and gross, and we never had a tattoo infection, you loser. That's
what's happening. What are you doing? Like, are you going in the hot tub every night after you get this tattoo? How is this happening?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, definitely, unfortunately, it's now going to have to be one of those things where the teams are like, okay, guys, So now let's not get any tattoos in season, please. We can't do the tattoos. It's just going to be one of those things where they're now going to have to make a rule about it.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's one
at
of
least
those,
they can't have facial hair.
All right, let's not allowed to get facial hair, but tattoos go crazy. It's fine. You know, I just it's so stupid. It's so unbelievably dumb that this is happening to a professional baseball player. Also, like when it started hurting, why didn't you go tell one of the doctors on the team and say, this kind of is sore. Is it supposed to be like that? And they'd be like,
what was he doing?
No, you need amoxicillin or whatever. Like, get out of here.
Zombie outbreaks go. He's just like, I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, that's how you lose your leg for real. Like being stubborn like that. It's just stupid.
Yeah. Well, Clay Holmes kind of gets to go back into that closer role. It's like full circle.
Activated. Yeah. He's activated today, Clay.
Well, it's like the full circle. I was like, hey, Clay Holmes, he could be the guy the rest of the year. They don't even need to put Aroldis back in. And then Clay sucked. Aroldis did. And now we're back to full circle where Clay Holmes is the guy. So out on Aroldis Chapman, in on Clay Holmes. Bryce Harper returned on Friday, went 3-for-10 over the weekend, run 2 RBIs, a K, and he's going to be playing the Diamondbacks today as the Phillies are here in Arizona. Ozzie Albies is going to be starting a rehab assignment. Amazing that there's a possibility you could have him back for the playoffs, because don't most standard playoffs start next week?
Yeah, they start the first week of September, so... yeah, I think a lot of them do. Some of them don't start until, you know, like a week into September. But yeah. I mean, there's a possibility. There's a lot of guys that are like, you didn't think we're going to come back. Alzolay like hasn't played all year with that shoulder strain. He could be back soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that were, you know, they're not close. So I didn't put all of them on the sheet because they're not like, hey, it's next week. But it's like they're working their way back. They could be back early September, mid-September, whatever, get a start or two. You know, these are just guys that are like, let's get a start at the end of the season. Let's play at the end of the season so that we know we're all good for next year. You know, a lot of that is that, but some of it, like, you know, Ozzie Albies, is let's get these guys back for the playoffs. So if there is any setback, there is any issue, they probably won't play in the regular season much at all because they just want those guys back for the playoffs. So.
Two pieces of breaking news. One, Corbin Carroll is wearing number 7. I saw a hype video by the Diamondbacks.
Who wore 7 last? I think it was like Danny Claussen or somebody.
Danny Claussen? I don't know.
Steven Drew was 6. Spivey? Spivey might have been 7. I'm going to look.
I don't know. But he's wearing number 7. And as good as my run has been, because you're talking about playoffs, because I got a notice that the Tout playoffs start next week. And I won again, which is 7.
Cody Ransom. Last guy to wear number 7.
He's actually coaching. He's coaching the lower levels of the Diamondbacks now.
Oh no, that's number 1. I'm sorry. This is This is how many this website, what is this? Baseball Almanac has every player to wear number 7. Luke Weaver wore 7 this year. Before that it was Beef, Wellington Castillo, Cody Ross, Robbie Hammack, Carlos Quentin, Robbie Hammack. Danny Claussen was the first Diamondback to wear number 7. And that was, I didn't realize he came up at the end of the year in 98. So I just remember him was
going to be the
part
best.
Of that, like baby backs team or whatever.
But it reminded me in Tout that I got a notice of the playoffs and I won, but I needed one other person to lose. So I had a chance at a playoff spot. I cannot do anything. My run is over. An incredible run of, I mean, it's not over. I can still win again. And I'll have won like 8 straight weeks and been probably the hottest team to play. But I cannot make the playoffs, unfortunately, because of my horrid start. But I have, passed Nick Pollock.
So I'm going to ask you this question again. Does the amazing finish here take off all of the sting of the bad start from the injury prone players, or is it just, man, I really think I'm avoiding at least taking too many injury
prone. I don't know. Maybe I took but it's like, I didn't realize like Peralta and Wheeler were kind of out of left field. And then Harper got, it was only DeGrom. Like I might've been able to salvage another win or two. Yeah. And well, that's Vlad fair. Also kind of underperformed. I like the strategy because I've also been on a winning tear with Vlad just being meh. Otani has been kind of meh as of late. And I've been on an absolute freaking tear. I literally can't be beat. I haven't been beat in almost 2 months in Tout. And it's just unfortunate. I wish I could have slided in 6th just to get in the playoffs and see if I could ruin Frank's time. And I could have just knocked Frank out in the first round, because I'm the team you don't want to face right now. And it's just one of those unfortunate things. But those are some other pieces of news here. Jordan Alvarez said he's dealing with soreness in his hand the whole second half, and he sat on Sunday. And this is really doesn't make me feel good about him moving forward. You know, zapped hand stuff. He doesn't seem like he's been 100% right. And this is just something to monitor going into the playoffs. This could be a brutal blow for playoff
what
players.
What are Jordan's numbers? I just want to look at his splits from the first half to the second half. Because I was actually, I think I was at that game where he got hit on the hand too. So maybe we are going back to cursed Bogman. I am in Madden.
Dude, what if it was that game? What if it was the game?
He's hitting 40 points worse. 306 in the first half, 266 in the second half. And really, it's the power.
What was that game? Give me the date.
26 homers. It was a Saturday day game.
Doesn't help.
For the Astros. It was like right after the break. 5 homers in the second half. So, like clearly just definitely affecting him. Entire second half here. So,
and it's worrisome for going into the playoffs right now. I don't know if you can do it, but tough matchups, this might be a thing where if 10 man leagues, I think it's more viable. What I'm getting at is you sit him and you try to get in any other hot bat anywhere else. I mean, I don't know, you go down with a ship, but just be on the lookout for it. It's not great. The Dodgers are going to be going to a 6-man rotation for a few weeks at minimum when Kershaw returns. He threw a 70-pitch simulated game on Saturday, so they're going to spread it all out. Probably good for everybody. Gonsolin probably needs it. Anderson needs it, so I think they need to stretch these guys out a little bit more, so I'm not shocked about it. Trevor Story was activated from the IL after 7 weeks on what a garbage year he's had. Just throwing that out.
Yeah, it's been a tough look for Trevor Story, yeah. For sure.
You want to talk about a tough look? How about Josh Hader? Gave up 6 earned runs on Sunday. Looks like the worst pitcher. He's making fantasy owners cry like Devin Williams did.
I was about to make a joke about Devin Williams too. Like, do we think that this is like because their best friend necklaces are so far apart that one of them has to suffer and it's the one not in Milwaukee?
It's where, the anti-Hancock thing. They just, yeah. Their powers are not good when they're not together.
Oh my God. You are the only person to reference the movie Hancock ever. Nobody likes that movie. You're the only person that enjoys it.
I love that movie. Awful. I watch it right now. So we'll do a watch party on our Twitch if I get enough people.
Ugh, God, that would be great. Terrible.
It is weird looking at Will Smith though now. Like my kids... they're struggling with something to watch, and we were like going back and forth and debating. And I think for some reason it needed to be like some musical or something. So Aladdin got brought up, and we started it up, and they love that movie, but they had just all seen it. So we as soon as it was on, I was like, "It is a great movie."
What offends you more, Aladdin with Will Smith or Will Smith slapping Chris Rock?
Slapping. But that's my point. It's like I thought the Aladdin movie's great, but I was watching and I looked at my wife. I'm like, "Isn't it weird looking at him and like?" What a pariah he is now. And I think the same thing might apply for Hancock, but might be a little bit more appropriate. That attitude might be a little bit more of the real Will Smith.
But you're not going to like never watch Will Smith things again because
I'm not watching them anyways. Yeah. No, I just like, I'm less interested. Like Will, but dude, I've been interested in Will Smith in like 15 years. Like, yeah. You know, when people get cast and stuff, you're like, ooh, this is cool. Like, Will Smith doesn't
better enjoy cool that stuff. Oscar because he's not going to get any more of those roles that can get.
He doesn't do. He's going to have to do like a Benicio del Toro. Like, what's his movie? He's going to have to do like a Machete, ooh. Like Machete 3.
Who has a better chance to bounce back in their career, Will Smith or Byron Buxton?
You're a mean person.
I'm asking a question.
Byron Buxton for sure, though.
Okay,
Byron Buxton. Well, like it's going to take a while. It's going to take a real gritty, like non-Will Smith.
Get Dan Campbell over there.
Yeah, he's going to have to. No, I'm saying movie. He's going to have to do like a real non-Will Smith type of movie to get back to it. And I don't want to talk about Buxton. I don't want to talk about him. Let's move on. Let's go to other things. Josh Hader's a garbage show. Absolute piece of garbage. You should go pick up Nick Martinez and Luis Garcia. One of the two. Martinez hasn't had a save in like a week. But I think he's a perfect guy for it. I think this week he's going to get a little bit more. So
I don't think the Padres will win another game. So it doesn't matter.
You know what? They also might not win another game ever. That could be part of the problem. Like ever again. What if they never win a game?
For all of these pieces and they keep losing games. They keep losing ground to the Dodgers. I still think, they're still in favor of, they're still in the lead for the wild card, aren't they?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
In this league dot fans, friendos, if you guys want to go and check out some of the great merch, you can get the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast artwork as a t-shirt. You can get the logo, prospects, the symbol, Boggs Jr., whatever you want. Go pick it up today. Support your boys. Get some ITL merch. Maybe you're coming out to First Pitch Arizona and you're going to wear some ITL merch. The first time ever we did have it happen, we still got credit for it. Because you told me about this because it was a listener who was in the Army who had a Prospect One, Prospects Assemble t-shirt on at a fall league game. Almost wanted it to be someone we didn't even like know that wasn't.
I didn't tell
Army.
You about that. Jesse and Ryan told me about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, somebody was saying that they had that. So I love seeing that. Want to see more of that in the future. Take a picture of yourself out in the wild. Take a picture of yourself in ITL gear at games. Do a small, mini. Just like get in trouble or something. And do a picture on the news.
We just call them Misties.
Do a Misty. Nothing serious. Nothing real serious. If you wanted to run around on field.
Only if you don't have them strikes.
Don't do it.
Only if you don't have them strikes. Yeah.
Yeah, just buy a shirt and just wear it around. Don't do anything.
How about
bad
that?
With it.
Yeah,
buy a shirt.
Take a video, do a TikTok dance with it on or something. Don't get it misty.
Go viral. Yeah, exactly. Go viral in like a nice way.
No
like,
misties, no fellies. We don't need any of them.
No fellies, no misties. 100%. Go pick them up. Hoodies, shirts, stickers, mugs, whatever. In this league, fans, do it today. Let's take a look at the last 2 weeks, Bogman, as we are heading into our playoff runs, and we're heading into a time where we got to make some big roster decisions. Because we cannot sit around and be complacent anymore. We cannot sit around and wait for these guys that have nothing for us. It's go time. So over the last 2 weeks, Boggs, did you know that the number one home run hitter is Nathaniel Lowe with 6 homers, 16 RBI, hitting .400 and a sub 20% K percentage, really making a case for his dynasty value and continuing to keep this job as he has 22 homers on the year with a 300 average. And I say keep this job as in Josh Young is looming, but Josh Young is clearly going to just be there. I thought he could be their first baseman. He'll be their third baseman. You'll have Nate Lowe with Seager and Marcus Semien. That's not a bad infield.
Yeah. I mean, you are saying his name incorrectly because he's only been good since he's been Nathaniel Lowe. And not
I said Nathaniel
Nate Lowe anymore.
I said Nathaniel.
You just called him Nate Lowe a second.
Oh, maybe I recalled him. Well, actually personally talked to him and he says, I don't care what people call
him. Did he really?
Yeah. He said he doesn't care. Nathaniel. He goes by Nathaniel, but it's not something that matters to him. Though I feel like if you go by Nathaniel, you do care.
Also, didn't he make it a big deal this year by saying it's Nathaniel and not Nate? Like that was the whole thing. Yeah.
Said it to me in the offseason and during spring training. He's just like, I don't really care.
Okay. I mean,
but it would be I don't know. It would be like me going by Christopher. Like I don't go by Christopher. Like my wife calls me, Christopher when I'm in trouble. She goes Christopher Shane. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, great. Lord. Thanks mom. That type of stuff. But, me to go out of my way to do it. If I were to go by Christopher, that would be me going out of my way by it. So I assume it's the same thing.
Yeah. I'm going to go by Scott Trick from now on. So
Scottifer.
Yeah. Scottifer. Yeah. Scottle. So
I got a little scottle there. He got a little scottle.
That sounds like scottle sounds like a venereal disease. Just get the cream. What do you have? Scottle? You get that all the time. Who cares? I like that we're getting a viable option. Who would you rather have moving forward? Nathaniel Lowe.
Excuse me.
Or Christian Walker.
Ooh. I would probably go with Nathaniel with the .300 batting average. He's getting me a little bit of everything. Walker's average is just dog ass. It's just garbage. It's not doable. It's a no win, man. So I would go on the other side of that, I believe. So would you go Walker?
I don't know. I feel like Walker long term is better, and his Statcast page is just, or his Savant page is just red for Walker. I think I would. I think I'm going to stick with Christian. I think the lineup's going to be better. The ballpark's definitely better in Arizona than it is in Texas. So I think I'm going to go with Christian, but it's close. Christian probably hit 10 more. At the pace he's at right now, he could hit 40.
How many does he have? Shocked. So you got 30?
30 or 31. So
I feel like, I thought he had like 38 or something like that. So yeah.
No. He's got another month. I mean, he's been hitting them in bunches recently. So
the top
like three in that San Francisco series in San Francisco.
So the top 10 guys on the homer list over the last 2 weeks since the 15th are some names you'd expect. Goldschmidt, Mookie Betts, maybe you wouldn't expect Bregman, but he's on there. He's been good. But here, check out Jose Ramirez is on there, but check out some of these names, dude. Eugenio Suarez continues to just make things happen. 5 homers, but only hitting .231 with a 39% K percentage. Ian Happ has 5 homers with a stolen base hitting .278. Lars freaking Nootbaar, though. 4 homers, 15 runs, which, guess what, is tied for most of any other player with Mookie Betts. 15 runs, and he's got the third most homers of anybody in this time period while hitting .292. And he's got a 20% walk percentage and a 12.9% K percentage. He is setting himself up to get a starting gig next year. And I this is another one of those things that just pisses me off sometimes with myself, because like I talked about Lars Nootbaar so much during the AFL because I was super impressed with the numbers he was putting up. He looked like a prototypical leadoff hitter, he's a great swing, makes really good contact. I was like, hey, listen, I think he could break camp with this team. He kind of didn't. Then he comes up and he's wishy-washy. Wanya Pez was incredible to start up. And then now you've had O'Neill struggling and Yopez kind of struggled. And then Nootbaar just picked it up. And I just wish I was like team Nootbaar every ounce of the way so I could be like, okay, let's go. But he's amazing. No way he should be out there. And if he was, he would be an instant pickup right now. Lars Nootbaar. And then also Isak Paredes, 4 homers with a .278 batting average during this time. Bogdan.
Dude, look up Isak. I want his month-to-month stats because he's been a roller coaster, I feel like.
Like, let's look here.
I picked him up. He was crushing it. This is in my stupid 10-man league. So I picked him up there. He was crushing it. And then I had to bench him because he was hitting like .215 for the
average month. Went way down for a bit.
Yeah. So, but now he's starting to pick it back up. So he's all just, right,
so what do you want? You want the month? Player. So the
just
month,
the month to month, like give me the batting averages over the last 3 months.
Yeah. So June he hit, so May he hit .208. June he hit .271. July he hit .190.
Oh my God.
August he's up to .240 with 4 homers. And it's been, it's that's really,
still, I mean, 240 out. Is a 50-point difference from last month. So by the way, expected batting average, for Christian Walker is .255 this year. And he has the lowest BABIP he's ever had in his career. I was just looking that up as we were talking about him, before, but same deal with, Isak. He has been up and down and up and down. He's a frustrating player to roster. So
Jake Fraley has, 4 homers as well. Technically, 12 players in the last 2 weeks have had 4 more homers. He's one of those. He's been pretty good. He's another one of those guys. These are the type of players you look to like pick up and jump on right now to get some extra value. You know, you get into Nootbaar, you get into Paredes if he's sitting out there. Fraley is one of those I've been looking at. He's been hitting at the top of the Reds lineup, so you can be on the lookout for him.
How has Hershey not made a deal with Nootbaar? Like, they should have a Nootbaar.
Dude, I don't know how much of it was a joke or not, but the rumor in the AFL was Nootbaar said he copyrighted the word Nootbaar to get like a protein bar, like
good,
like a sports, make a sports protein bar if he became something.
Yeah, something after his career or something. But that's
dude, I'm telling you, dude, he should do it right now. This offseason, when you got a shot for it next year, you should have the Nootbaar out there because it is.
You should have Nootbaars in the dugout.
You know, well, you know what was smart is he bought the copyright, the right to it. He should reach out to the Cardinals so they want to buy and lease out some of that, and they should be selling it at Cardinal Stadium. That's smart marketing right there. Make some extra money off your team.
But if they want to trade him, that's tough, you know.
Well, but he still owns it. He still owns the copyright to it. He's like leasing the copyright out so they can make it, and he gets proceeds. And if he gets traded, guess what? Nootbaar is for everybody. You get a Nootbaar. You get a Nootbaar in a new destination.
The bobblehead, the Nootbaar bobblehead will have to be done a different day.
You can eat it. You can eat the Nootbaar bobblehead. It's a crispy wafer. Runs, Mookie Betts and Lars Nootbaar at the top. Alex Bregman, 14 over the last 15 days. I mean, Mookie Betts and Lars Nootbaar have literally averaged a run every single day.
So yeah, who knew that Betts and Nootbaar were going to be the same guy at the end of the season? That's nuts.
Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt down to Jose Siri, Marcus Semien, Ian Happ, Yelich, all with 12. And you have had 21 players with 10 or more runs. The bottom of the list, Jake Fraley's on there again. You know, Fraley is one of the few guys on this list. If I'm looking for more homers, the only thing he struggled with is RBIs. He has 2 stolen bases, 4 homers, 10 runs in the last 2 weeks. Total pickup for categories across the board. He hasn't been a big help for your batting average, but he is definitely on that list. Our boy Michael Harris is cooled a tiny bit, but he did hit 1 homer, 2 stolen bases. Strikeouts are a little bit up, but he had 11 runs, which was like the 4th or 5th best over the last 2 weeks. So he's continued to go. Your RBI category guys that you're looking at, Paul Goldschmidt with 16, Nate Lowe with 16. Looking down the list, I'm trying to see if they're Yandy Diaz. Here you go. 2 homers, 11 RBI, 1 stolen base, 346 batting average. Your boy, Yandy Diaz Boggs.
Where did this come from? Why is Yandy my guy? Yandy.
Yeah, you always loved Yandy.
No, I don't think I ever loved Yandy. I think I put him in. He was one of the most picked up guys at the end of the year because he's never rostered over like 15%. So he's just always on that list. So, but I don't roster Yandy Diaz in any league. So not
Yandy, 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 Yandy. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know if anybody does that, but I do that now. That's officially what I do.
Yandy, 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 Yandy.
Another good one to take a look at. Actually, someone just asked me about this today. Harold Ramirez. Harold Ramirez, one of those dudes that has just been getting playing time, hitting well over 300, 11 RBI, a homer with 8 runs and a 308 batting average in this time period. So he has been pretty dang good. Stolen bases. This is the big one that you're trying to chase probably and buy. Your leaders, Cedric Mullins, Adolis Garcia, Bobby Witt. Ain't nothing you can do about that. But would you look at this? Tied for 2nd with 3. Jake McCarthy. He has as many as Mookie Betts, Randy Arozarena.
That was all in the same game. That was all in the Saturday game against the White Sox. So
playing time, it'd be really interesting to watch where he goes. You got Bryson Stott in here, who's had 3. Nice little stolen base marker. Nico Horner has been a pretty solid little option. John Birdie, all guys you could take a look at if you're trying to manufacture some stolen bases. The others are going to be tough, but again, I come back to Jake Fraley. Like, Fraley is one of those 5 toolish type of guys you can pick up right now. I kind of think Nico Horner falls in there. And obviously we have questions about McCarthy, but hey, McCarthy can get it done. Let's go on the pitching side. I got to go to standard here. Your strikeout. Oh, I got to redo the stupid thing. Don't you hate when you have to like re-click all the stuff?
You have to check all the boxes. Welsh. I'm surprised Birdie has had 4 stolen base attempts since coming back. I mean, guy stole, 18 in the month of June, and he has 3 stolen base attempts since he's come back. That is just crazy to me.
27 strikeouts, the leader for Charlie Morton over the last 2 weeks.
Charlie Morton.
Followed by Robbie Ray and Luis Castillo, who both have 24. Brandon Woodruff, 23 with Kyle Gibson. Again, these are all the big names that you expect. I see Spencer Strider in here. The probably lowest option here is Ross Stripling, who's been really good. 19 strikeouts in 18 innings. Also picked up a win in 3 starts over the last 2 weeks. If you're talking about own percentage, it's him, Edward Cabrera.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends in this league.
In the dark.
Maybe Kyle Bradish, who has an under 3 ERA. Those would be 3 players who have had a decent strikeout run and probably all guys that you should be taking a look at this point.
I roster Bradish in a deep league. So, yeah, he's been pretty solid. All right. Those are good options.
K-minus walk percentage over the last 2 weeks. Number 1, actually going tonight, Carlos Rodon at 38.8%. Aaron Nola.
Couldn't have been 30s. More wrong about Carlos Rodon, by the way. That's a L that I have to eat this year. And I think you guys can follow my logic on that one, but the logic just didn't work. He was great last year, but he slowed down way big in the second half. He was terrible. And then the White Sox could have offered him a qualifying offer, got him back cheap, and they didn't do it. And that made me start thinking about this shoulder injury that he's had, and it took him a long time to come back, and maybe they let him go a little bit too long in that no-hitter, because after that, he really started to sink like a stone. And just going to the Giants, he has been unbelievably good. He has been really, really good. And I mean, that's just an L. That I know I was low ranker on him for ECR, and that's just one I got to wear. So
health is just one of those issues that he was dealing with. And it's lesser this year, 38.8% K minus walk percentage. Only six pitchers have a 30% or higher K minus walk percentage over the last 2 weeks. It is Rodon, Nola, Tristan McKenzie, Rich Hill, Gallen, and Verlander. Those are your guys with the 30-plus percentile. Aaron Nola, the only one to pitch to an over 200 batting average. So some pretty big numbers. You also see George Kirby in there who, dude, I'm telling you, we're going to have a lot of conversation about Kirby in the offseason. He really might push like a top 25 SP. There's a real possibility it's going to get there. The low walk percentage, the solid Ks, he just keeps making it happen. A good team, good offensive context. He had a 1.9 walk percentage over the last 2 weeks, which it's absurd. I mean, in the top 20, there's only a couple guys that are in the same range as him. Patrick Sandoval, JT Brubaker, Aaron Nola. That's about it. So he has been amazing. Outside of actually, let's take a look at your Sierra leaders over the last 2 weeks. It's a little bit more of a sample size to take a look at. On the leading side, 1.67, Carlos Rodon for Bogman. Carlos Rodon at 1.67. Rich Hill, the second best Sierra over the last 2 weeks, and one of the best K minus walk percentage. Blister Guard in Boston, if he's sitting out there, what is his own percentage, you think? His user